This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Derek Piper, Joey Wagner, alongside Jeremy Warner doing work in Kansas City on site at the T-Mobile Center. Unfortunately, had to watch whatever we just watched in person. I'm sure it was just as bad on TV as we watched it from home. But we're going to break this thing down. Illinois falls 71-51 on the road in Kansas City in the Hall of Fame Classic. Just an utter disgraceful performance, honestly, offensively from what Illinois just put on display. And it's just hard to really fathom what we just watched when a team gets their All-American big man back and Kofi Coburn comes out dominant against Cincinnati and really showed that they couldn't handle him early on. And you get that guy back, you get a week of practice to clean some things up. And it sounded like, you know, Illinois, in terms of how this shaped up, Cincinnati being a team that played four cupcakes at home before this matchup, a new head coach, seemed like Illinois could really get right and potentially blow them off the floor, which you're up 15 points midway through the first half. That's what it looked like it was trending towards. And then just utter collapse and anemic offense. And it's hard to even really put words around that. We're going to try to get this done. Joey, first reactions that come to mind in terms of what we just watched and the fact that Illinois didn't have an answer, couldn't figure it out, and just got blown out by a Cincinnati team that I'm not sure we're gonna look back on in February or March and say that they're very good.
Are we going to look back in February and March and say either of these last two losses have been very good? It's just super disappointing, right? And we knew Illinois would miss Io DeSumo from a late game perspective, from a go-get-a-bucket perspective, from a just facilitate the offense perspective. But you missed him in these last two games from a things are going off the rails really, really fast and someone pick it up perspective. And he's such a dominant personality that it was just like, I think we kind of got used to seeing it, right, Derek? It's like, oh, if things are messed up, Io's going to either get a bug. He's just going to figure this thing out because that's what Io does. And you don't think anything of it. Now someone else has got to step into that. Is it one person? Is it multiple people? That's what I think Illinois has to figure out. And that's beyond just the flat out X's and O's of what's going on offensively. I just think you lack that fix it guy and that fix it leadership. And I'm sure in a month, if we have this discussion, it'll probably be figured out. But when you have such a dominant guy, it does take a little bit to figure it out. It's not an excuse, but that to me is one of the glaring things this team's missing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There was a swagger about Io. And I know that Brad spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the air about Kofi and the confidence that a team gets when Kofi's back in the lineup. And we did see that early on, but it was last year, Io was the alpha. Io was the guy that everyone fed off of. And when they walked into a building and he said, you know, hey, we're gonna go on a run we're cutting this at this point where things are going wrong and we're turning it around. Obviously in late game, we know that that was a team that was not afraid of anybody because they felt like and knew they had the best closer in college basketball. So there is definitely a leadership conversation to be had. The fact that he's not there anymore, Georgie not being there anymore is something you got to at least bring up because in terms of chemistry and there is something to be said for the fact that this team has been a little disjointed and not gotten to practice together, but these guys have played. I mean, the main pieces of this team have played a lot together. So I would push back on that. I know that Brad mentioned that in the press conference. Like when you look at this starting lineup and you have Curbelo and you have Frazier and Grandison and Kofi, I know Coleman's stepping into a new role and playing a lot this year, but those are four guys, the first four I mentioned that have played a lot of basketball and know what it takes to win and know the effort. And that's the other thing. Like I think when there's something to be said of an offense that's not working and not making the right passes or the ball's not going in, but to have your coach sit there and say, you know, we got out tough, we got out hustled, they played harder than us. Like, we heard that last year early on in the season, and there have been points like that within an Illinois season, even last year, where some of that has happened and you kind of question why is that the case for the team that talks about everyday guys and having the right culture and everything. So on one hand, it is a long season. And then I think sometimes we even forget, even last year when they struggled, like you got to kind of mold it and figure it out. And each team is different, but at the same time, it's like, man, this team should not be going through that. And that's really, really concerning. And can they pick it up? Absolutely. Are they talented enough? They are. But that is something that has got to be fixed and figured out. And Brad apparently hasn't really had the answers for it. I think that's something that's concerning too, because when this team was flying off the handle at Marquette and was panicking and just couldn't get out of their way and struggling, like he wasn't able to calm them down. And some of that was a point guard that was losing his mind. And I thought he was a little bit better tonight, but then again, takes jump shots that don't go down and still has turnovers. But this team's got to have some of that player leadership, and that really evaporated down the stretch where offensive struggles all of a sudden meant Illinois wasn't playing defense. And there was a point in time where they were over. They knew the game was over. And, you know, Brad sat his starters down. You asked about him in the press conference, sat his starters fairly early with still a lot of time left on the clock. So, yeah, how do you see that? Like, the fact you mentioned Io, and you mentioned the fact that, you know, everything he brought on that side, like, but you would have expected Kofi's presence and what we talked about yesterday to kind of fix that, right? Like, I don't know how concerning is that, I guess, is maybe the biggest question that we should ask at this point in time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I agree with you. I didn't like the, well, we're disjointed answer from Brad, because I mean, yeah, like the reality is they have had guys in and out, right? Like that's not really disputable. And I know he kind of prefaced it with like, I know this sounds like an excuse, and it does sound like an excuse, but don't a day ago say, we probably beat Marquette with Kofi. And then when you lose, turn around and say, well, listen, you know, hey, we're a little disjointed. And I get it. It's like right after the game and you're trying to search for an answers after, you know, it's fine. But like those two things really conflict for me when you hear them. And that's what I was just kind of like, it's not, to me, it's kind of hard to be the case, right? Like you have two All-Americans, two super senior, well, one All-American and one guy that I think a lot of people in Curbelo reasonably projected to take quite a big jump and in some cases be an All-American. You have two super seniors in Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams. Like, you're right, disjointed doesn't really add up with this team. This isn't Io's sophomore year and Kofi's freshman year team, right? Like, I think you're where is that toughness that Brad Underwood, I remember before the first, was it the first exhibition or the second? I think it was the first where, like, he made it a point. Like you can tell when Brad goes to a podium what Brad wants to talk about, and he wanted to talk about toughness. And now you're seeing it turn around. So, I mean, there's just so many of these kind of concerning elements in two games. And again, let's be honest, Derek. We think in a month this will probably right itself. To what degree, we'll see. But, like, I don't think we're going to be having the same discussion in a month. And if so, that means we're having it right around the Missouri game, and I can just see the Twitter world caving from the inside. But I don't even remember your initial question, but like there are some of these concerning elements to look at and say, I just kind of thought with the hype that the answers would have already been kind of out there by this point.
Yeah. And there's just been those concerning signs, and it hasn't just been in this game or even against Marquette when Kofi kind of as an aside at one point leading up to the season said, well, in a team meeting we had, I think it was maybe after the first exhibition game or maybe it was around the Indiana PA game. And it's like, you're having a team meeting already this early in the season. And we're maybe nitpicking and just trying to glean whatever we can out of a, you know, certain statement. But Brad went into this fall, you know, for a guy that at Big Ten Media Day did puff out his chest and say, we can be better than last year. Like, we have really, really high expectations. At the same time, sat there and said, like, we're not as tough as we need to be. We need to be tougher. We need to be more together. We're not playing defense all that well, which defense was the lesser of the two evils tonight. It was offense, and that's offense has been the issue for the most part here at the start of the season. I do want to touch on that as we go along, but that is something that has been, there have been just some signs of this team not coming together, and you're wondering why that's the case. Again, to your point there at the very end, do I think they'll figure it out? Yeah, I ultimately do. Will Illinois come together? Will Michigan come together? I think it's an early time for these teams to maybe overreact a little bit, and you are going to have some of that. But is Purdue by far and away the best team in the Big Ten right now? Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious take to have. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe as we're recording right now, I know that Arkansas leads Kansas State in the first half. Maybe an Illinois-Bruce Weber matchup tomorrow, and boy, you better win that one, or people are really going to lose their minds. But
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How about let's dive into a couple of these individual performances, and I'm actually going to group these guys together. Trent Frazier, who had a really nice game against Marquette and obviously went off from three. Tonight was 0 for 9 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3, and maybe one that's more concerning and has been kind of more of a theme to start the season. His roommate, Demonte Williams, 0 for 2 from the field. Both of those were three-point shots. I think he's now 1 for 7 from 3 to start this season. So two guys, super seniors, that don't score, go 0 for 11 combined. And Demonte is not the offensive threat that he was last season. Joey, what do you make of that? Should we overreact and say Demonte's back to sophomore year Demonte, junior year Demonte? Like, what do you think about those two tonight and not being able to step up? And I guess you could even say Grandison. Grandison was 0-for-3 as well.
Yeah, I kind of thought when Kofi came back, the gravity of him, everything was going to kind of fall back into place in the way that we saw it last year. That would have meant good-looking threes for Demonte, for Trent, for Jacob Grandison. What was last year for Demonte, right? That was a silly jump from everything we had seen from him for 3 years. And maybe the answer is more in the middle, right? Like, I know I'm kind of hedging a little bit, but he's probably not going to lead the nation or whatever his stat was in three-pointers. Or, you know, he's also not going to be the sophomore year where you could hear the Orange Crush go, oh, wait, before he shot it, right? Like, the answer is somewhere probably there to be, but like, the point is you can't have your two stars. I got to call them stars, right? Like Kofi Coburn and Andre Curbelo combined for 30. Man, I'm not good at math. 30 of your team's 51 points. That's not winning you anything. And then the next closest guy is Plummer with 6, right? And one of them was a last second three. So really he had 3 points for any part of this game that mattered at all. Austin Hutcherson had 5 points. I mean, nobody else, and just the shooting numbers, how do you win a game with Damonte Williams, Trent Frazier, and Jacob Grandison going 0-14? How do you do it? Like, I know this team is supposed to have depth, but you don't do that. So, and at some point, Derek, I would assume you and I both watched in the same, like, after a while, it just got to feel like bad luck on some shots. Like, there were some open looks that were in and out. Like, Illinois may have set a record for most halfway down shots to in a game. Now, that's not going to win you anything, right? Halfway down didn't get you half the number of points. But, like, at some point, it did feel a little bit like just – crappy luck after, I mean, and then the rest of it was just the offense was completely putrid and settling for terrible shots. First shot, don't get it into Kofi and work it inside out. Offensively, Brad said they're disjointed, right? Which makes sense. This was a 23-8 game to start in which Illinois won. They lost 71-51. That is a 53-27 deficit. I'm really not good at math. If that's wrong, someone please don't correct me. But they were 7-40 to close the game shooting. Like, that's not all bad luck. That's just really bad offense. What'd you make offensively? Where are these issues arising for going 7-41?
Yeah, like you said, it's hard to just say it's one schematic thing. You're going to have shots that just don't go in, and it's one of those nights. But to that extent was really concerning because I don't think that they adjusted all that well. When you had Kofi going early, and Cincinnati, of course, is going to say, okay, we can't guard him one-on-one like most teams in the nation. We're going to have to put two or three guys in the paint every time he touches the ball. And Illinois, for some stretch of time when they went 6.5 minutes without a field goal, I think Kofi only took one of those shots. They're like 1-for-11. So it almost seemed like they went away from him because they had all that attention in the lane. And there were a couple of times Coleman Hawkins, I'm sure he wasn't the only one, would like kind of stare him down. Kofi has a guy on his back and don't throw it to him. And then it seemed like the offense was stand four people around the perimeter, see if we can dump it into Kofi. If we can't, let's maybe just pass it around a little bit and then someone's going to have to take a shot. And it was contested a lot of times. And there just wasn't a whole lot of connectivity, some kind of like real purpose to the offense. And Kofi is part to blame in terms of some of the criticism about when you have a team that's going to crash down inside, the strategy is to then get it inside, have that team crash, and then kick it out to whoever's open, whether that be a three-pointer on the perimeter or someone cutting off the other side. Kofi has 5 assists since the start of last season. So, like, that is something that Illinois has not done well at all. He had no assists tonight. He, at times, was taking it up, contested against multiple guys. But you're going to need 3-point shooting around him. And that was another thing that I know it's really early. And can they live up to the billing of being a much better shooting team than last year? They can, but so far we're not seeing that. They were 3-for-22 from three tonight. You had Hawkins, Grandison, Curbelo, Damonte, like those guys were combining going into tonight, and Plummer, that was the other one, like combined, they were 19% from three. And Plummer really has yet to click into place. Defensively, he's still a very much a liability, takes some questionable shots. And I know that Brad said in general, like, there was a lot of hero ball tonight. There was a lot of guys just trying to be like, okay, it was this guy's turn last time and it didn't work. Well, let me go take one. And I think Curbelo still has to get that out of him some, because even very early in the game, took a fadeaway in the lane, air ball jump shot. Took a very deep three when things were going wrong and it was building on a Cincinnati lead that really had no chance of being made. So that needs to get fixed just in terms of, okay, if teams are going to crash, we got to use that to our advantage. And if the post-entry game to Kofi's not working, what else can we do to get guys shots, to move the ball? And that is a coaching thing. That is something they got to work on and practice and scheme up. But at the same time, when you have Curbelo, when you have Trent, when you have guys that have been on the floor, those guys got to make plays too. So it's a shared blame, but it's certainly something that this coaching staff is going to have to find answers to. And I'm surprised that we saw it to that drastic of an extent when you had all week to prepare, knew Kofi was coming back, knew this team was going to not be able to guard him one-on-one. What were you going to be able to do after that? And that's where they didn't have the answer.
You know, your point about Kofi and his 5 assists dating back to last year, do you know who else knew that? Cincinnati head coach Wes Miller.
Yes.
Wes Miller, right? Yeah. And, you know, he brought it up pretty quickly in his post-game press conference. So now you got this kind of storm of you're not hitting shots, you're not running a coherent offense. Everybody knows it, and nobody cares because they're going to go in and crash on Kofi to make him pass out of there, one, and then two, make you hit the shot to make them pay for crashing in on him. Will that eventually happen? I don't know about the passing operation, but at some point you would think the shots are going to end up going down, right? But that right now, I mean, to hear him come out and say, that was kind of our plan here, like, it worked, right? And that's a problem. That's a recipe for disaster. One of the things, you know, that I know that we had heard of Kofi wanting to improve was, A, his range a little bit, get out, and he took some mid-range shot early in the first half. It did not go in, so
he was feeling himself at that point. Things were going right for a while, so he was able to be like, all right, I'm going to try this.
Yeah, I would suspect that Brad has requested in some capacity that he steer clear maybe a little bit of that shot, but you got to pass it. You got to pass it out. And to be honest, for the most part, if you got two people on Kofi, you're probably telling him not to pass it out because he is strong as an ox. He's either going to get fouled or it's going to go in. But when they drop everybody in on him, and Cincinnati did that, I mean, you got to kick it out. It's just so much in these last few games. The hero ball was really a telling, I thought, statement from Brad. And Curbelo does wear a blame. Now, I do think a lot of the, oh, my God, this is the worst guard in America claims that we've seen float up. It's a little soon. All right? Let's just take a breath on that. But look, we knew when Andre Curbelo was kind of being projected to jump into the stratosphere of like elite college basketball players, that's not easy. Like, that's not just like, well, last year he was a sixth man and now he's going to be an All-American and we'll see you there. Like, that takes a lot to get to that point. And we're seeing, I think, some of those growing pains of Andre Curbelo going from the sixth man who was on the floor with Io, who's a freshman with some of these more mature players and veteran players, to now he's the one driving this car and he's got to figure out how to drive a stick shift at this point, right? Like, that's about the only analogy I can come up with. And it's not easy, and you're going to pop the clutch 100 times before you figure it out. And you would have liked to see this happen a little quicker. So I don't want it to sound like an excuse, like, well, you know, he'll get it eventually, because it hasn't really been pretty. And there's been stuff in this hero ball, the jump shot that you mentioned, the whole second half effectively against Marquette, that's concerning. And that's the stuff that you want to see reined in a little bit. And I know there's a trash talking element, right? Like, yeah, whatever. But I think you're just seeing how, like, big of an ask it was to ask somebody to go from what he was last year to an All-American and to run a show of a team that's supposed to be really stinking good. And it's ugly at time.
Yeah, there's a lot to ask out of a guy that, look, had some brilliant moments last year and had the highest assist rate in the Big Ten. When the ball was in his hands, Illinois was a better team when he was on the floor last year. But when he had his moments of, oh my God, things are unraveling, Brad could take him out and say, okay, sit down here. We're going to let Io go. We're going to let Trent go. Like, you can't do that now. Like, you got to ride with Curbelo for the most part. And I think that the usage is just so high for him. The ball is in his hands nearly every possession. And so there's more opportunities for him to make plays, but then he's letting some mistakes compound. He's taking some shots because he does, even as Brad said after the Marquette game, he's feeling some weight of, I need to step up offensively when we have a guy in Io that put up, 18 a game last year. Like, he's got to answer some of that. And I know that Curbelo is trying to be more of a scorer, and he needs to be, because defenses right now, the plan is going to be make him be the one to take the shot out of everybody else pretty much on the floor. Let's try to see if he'll take a jump shot, and they will settle with that for being the possession. So, by the same token, like, early on in the season, sophomore struggles, we had a lot of conversations about Io at that point in time of not living up to the hype at that point in time, kind of compared to he comes back and doesn't go through the NBA draft, but expects to be a draft prospect. And everybody's like, you know, I remember at Arizona where he struggles, or the Miami game is like, that guy thinks he's going to the NBA. Like, there was a lot of that. So Andre's struggles, I wouldn't completely just write him off. And I don't, I'm not saying anybody is, but
I am. Open the internet. It's everywhere.
There is some of that out there. There is some of that for sure. And he's going to get better. He's too talented. He's too talented not to. And he's too, he has good instincts, but I think he's just so aggressive and he's so sped up sometimes, and he tries to make every play. And even tonight, you're just seeing some passes or just him getting ahead of himself. Like, oh man, just don't make that play. And to your point about, you might as well bring it up with the taunting. And I am with you. You tweeted it out. Way too many whistles and trying to cut back on taunting as a Bears fan that lost to the Steelers because we had a taunting call that was just egregious. I am for cutting that back, but Curbelo's had what? I mean, if you count the exhibition games, four of those techs already early on this year. I mean, it's been at least three, and it's a guy that knows what he can't do, and he's still pushing the envelope a little bit. I think people might have a problem with Illinois had a rough stretch offensively. Curbelo finally hits a jump shot and then has something to say. And it's like, how about you make a jump shot, turn around and keep playing? Like he's very showy and also confident. So that's the thing that I think is rubbing some people the wrong way, but there is no doubt that like Mike Saunders makes a bucket, he's fired up, let him make the bucket and let's play on. Curbelo, same thing. So I get your point on that.
Yeah, I want to also, two of the Cincinnati players had talked about the depth that they have and that they just go out and play basically 1,000 miles an hour in just various shifts and wait for the other team to, what they said, tap out. And they effectively said, yeah, Illinois tapped out. And I want to get to defensively what is going on, because this isn't what, like, Brad didn't seem overly concerned offensively. Like, he understood there were things that need addressed, but he said, I'm worried about the other side. What is going on defensively? Like, how does the 7-footer in the middle not just kind of dry erase all the issues there?
Yeah, that's a good question. For a team that coming in was number one in the country defensive efficiency on KenPom, and some of that is still projection. Like some of that is still based on where they had them going into the year. They haven't been really good. I mean, they were great first two games, and even against Marquette, that wasn't your issue. But I think offensive struggles led to Cincinnati being able to, like, their mission was get stops, whether that be turnovers or bad shots, and push the ball. And Mike Saunders was just eating them up, like being able to drive and Illinois getting back and matching up in transition and stopping the ball. And then at some point, as just things wore on, Illinois wasn't as engaged in being able to close out on threes, and Davenport got going, hitting 3-point shots and allowed them get offensive rebounds, and it just all kind of unraveled from there. And I think that when Illinois is ultimately dialed in at that end, like they're really good and have maybe even higher upside than last year. Now, then again, I say that when some of that projection going in early on was like Omar Payne back up five is going to be a great rim protector and no one's going to score in the paint, even if Kofi's off the floor and Omar plays 5 minutes tonight, and we still haven't seen him just find a role. So that really boils down to a team that got out tough again, a team that got rattled, a team that let things emotionally take over. And like, Cincinnati is not pretty offensively. Like, going into this game, I think the rest of the year you'll see this is a team that when they turn you over, when they can run and transition, they'll score. But other than that, they're not a team. I mean, it's fairly typical Cincinnati, like, want to muck it up, want to be physical. Their games aren't all that pretty. But when you let them score 71, I mean, that's not good. That's a problem. And Kansas State, if you are to play them, is probably going to be a similar way. Like, that's going to be their style. And Illinois has got to be able to be tough. And Brad said it flat out, like, being able to withstand when you're not getting stops and still be able to defend, like, that's toughness. And he said, our team doesn't have a lot of that right now. And that's kind of the bottom line.
All right, a couple more points here. We talked about it earlier. Brad went to the reserves with like 9 or 10 minutes left in this game. Now, when I asked him about it, he said, I was just looking for someone to make a shot. I still stand to reason that Kofi and Curbelo are your two best options for that. And he also kind of pointed to, well, we got a game tomorrow. That hadn't stopped him really in the Big Ten tournament before, right? Like,
right.
What do you make of that? Because to me, that looked like a message. Like, you're not going to go out there and play hard defensively. You're not going to go out there. And we've kind of heard like loose references to like, you don't play defense, you're not playing, you know, but like, do you think that was a little bit of a message?
I think it had to be. It had to be when you look at the fact that like Coleman Hawkins plays 23 minutes. He has one rebound. Jacob Granderson had 2 rebounds in 15 minutes, and his minutes were limited because he was rough in terms of just all over the place. Defensively was getting beat to loose balls. And that's not Jake. Like, that's not what we normally see for a guy that's very high energy. That's someone that's getting that extra possession. And he wasn't doing that. And I think overall, to your point about like Curbelo not being out there, Kofi not being out there, he had to be sending a message and had to know that the game was without some kind of epic heroic comeback, 2005 levels of comeback. Like it was well in hand and done, and needed to find, and probably wanted to see some guys on the bench who were craving some minutes to play hard and say, hey, look, what happens when you play hard? Hey, we might get some stops. And I do think that back to kind of the original point of Brad seems to is searching with this group, and for a team that's got veterans, he's trying to awaken them. And he said the IUP game was a wake up call and something that he really liked. And obviously these two losses against Marquette and Cincinnati aren't things that he's enjoying, but he's trying to get his team's attention, in my opinion. And when you have a game right away tomorrow, you got to be able to do that. You can't sulk about it. You got to be able to try to ignite a fire into this team. And I think that might've been what he was trying to do. And at the same time, kind of understanding like where this was going, and maybe some minutes for Hutch were good ultimately for a guy that is trying to find a rhythm. And he kind of has maybe potentially, I mean, you might need him a little bit more than maybe we thought earlier on. If Alfonso Plummer isn't going to come along like you thought, if guys aren't going to hit shots, if shooting's going to be an issue and a concern for this team, that's a guy that profiles as a shooter, profiles as a guy who can defend with his length. And I know he's still got a lot to show based on in terms of like game experience, but I understand why he got some minutes. But yeah, the game was over somehow against KenPom 96 or 94. It was so far gone with 9 minutes to go. That was an early Seth Davis Sharpie as I've ever seen one for Illinois.
Are there any – I'm struggling to find them. Are there any redemptive qualities out of this game? Is there anything that you look at and say, hey, you know, that wasn't so bad, other than Kofi just for 8 minutes doing whatever he wanted to do on a basketball court?
Not really.
No. I seriously, I can't think of any. Like, nothing went even moderately close to right. I did like the last little flash we saw of Hutch, but, like, that tells me almost nothing moving forward, right? Like, it looked good when you're down by 20 and you get to the line, but I didn't really take anything from that. I mean, this was as bad of a quote-unquote supporting cast, show that we've seen in a long time, Derek. I'm struggling to remember a time that it was like that bad for outside of your stars.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while for a team that during their run of success last year really was about having – you know, seven, eight deep that could come in and make an impact. And this has been built again as a team. And I don't want to, it's easy now to nitpick and go back and say, well, this is what this team was hyped up as in the preseason. And anything that we say is obviously not what they're living up to at this point. But one of the things that was talked about was like, this is going to be a deeper team. This team could be better than last year overall. And obviously they're not showing that right now, but depth is now a question when you look at the Marquette game and what you didn't get off the bench and this game as well. And the fact, again, you know, DeMonte's coming off the bench, doesn't make a shot. Plummer goes 2 for 6. You just don't have a whole lot there. I know Luke Goody wasn't available tonight. Boss Man's never going to be a guy in the post. It's going to really be much to talk about in terms of score. Omar's not there. It's concerning. It's very concerning right now. Something's going to have to play out. It is still very early. But I agree with you. I mean, 5 free throws for Hutch isn't anything to go crazy over. Like, he was active, which is something more to be said for some other guys. But for the most part, this was just an abysmal performance, one that you can't really draw much from in terms of positive. And you try to hope you can figure it out tomorrow and at least get one victory in Kansas City.
Yeah, I guess I should clarify. When I say outside of the stars, they weren't really that great either for a majority of the game. It was just – all right, well, I wouldn't have projected this team to have 2 losses on November 22nd. 2 losses in 4. I mean, it's kind of silly to say out loud. But what's the level of concern, Derek? I mean, big picture, you know, in the next month term, like where are you at with the concern level here?
I think you have to recalibrate a little bit. I mean, it's easy to look at where Illinois finished last year being a 1 seed and was the hottest team in the country. And I guess now it's fairly obvious. Not, you don't just show up the next year and that's still the case. Like, even though you have what might have been, may or may not have been a fluky loss against Loyola, you don't just, you know, you lose one All-American, but you bring back Kofi and you say, okay, we're just going to pick right up where we left off. And there's some things to fix. I think big picture, the great thing about college basketball, if you're looking at it this way, and if you're a coach and you look at the kind of the process of building through a season, is you can take some tough losses and still ultimately get to where you want to go. So can this team, like the fact that they lose to Marquette and they without Kofi and they get embarrassed by Cincinnati with Kofi back, does that take away from anything you would have said preseason of where this team can go? I don't think so. They just have that much more to prove. I think that there's a lot of things that have been said about them. I think that there's a lot of things that have been assumed by those on the team, like in terms of where they're at status wise or where kind of they're at in the pecking order, that has to be proven. And I know that this team in the past, even last year, had to take a couple punches in the mouth before they really woke up and got it together. So maybe that's just happening in kind of a surprising fashion early on this season. I said earlier on, like, it's clear that Purdue is the class in the Big Ten. It makes sense why Michigan's figuring out, because they have so many new pieces and freshmen. So Illinois does have some new roles, a couple new pieces. So not as explainable in my opinion, but should they still be a top team in the Big Ten? Yeah, I think so. Are they clearly chasing Purdue now? Yeah, absolutely. And anything from that, they just got to be able to figure it out, because if they allow this to snowball, while I thought Arkansas was going to be the toughest team they played in the non-conference, it's pretty clear Arizona is going to be that. And you're going to face them at home here coming up in a few weeks. Notre Dame's a high major test you're going to play. You're going to play a high major test tomorrow, even if that is Kansas State. So you got to be able to right this ship, figure it out, and be able to be humbled a little bit and be bettered for that. So that's something that Brad's going to be tasked with now, having some answers. And I don't know. I don't want to overreact too much, but this is definitely one that's pretty jarring and one that I understand the fan base is like, what the heck's going on? This should not be happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. And circling it back all the way to the top of this is, who's going to be the one to set the alarm clock and kind of wake this team up? I knew who it was going to be last year, and he's playing on the Bulls. And I think Brad has this culture he's talked about, and that means so much to him. I think part of that is believing somebody on the floor outside of a coach is going to be the one to kind of shake the team awake. And it's been Andres Feliz, it's been Io DeSumo, and now you've got to see who steps in to do that. All right, Derek, back of this tomorrow. I don't even know who's winning the other game as we record this. Arkansas.
I can check real fast. Arkansas. It's got to be. It's going to be Arkansas.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're doubling up Kansas State. Bruce Weber, great. Illinois. Oh, man, I can just see the nostalgia. Brad against K-State. What a run. Back at it tomorrow, Derek. Illinois was cooked. They were cooked in Kansas City, man.
That's the podcast title. There you go. That's a good one.
Corner who's hobbled away in his like third hotel in as many days. All right, Derek. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, man. Talk tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.